Our guest today is Paulo Jobim, son of the legendary Brazilian composer, arranger, singer, and pianist Antonio Carlos Jobim. Tom, as the senior Jobim was known, was primarily associated with bringing the bossa nova to the United States, but he also wrote a large body of symphonic music which, surprisingly, heretofore has not been heard. Paulo Jobim has worked extensively with arranger Mario Adnay to put together a project of his father's works now known as Symphonic Jobim. We spoke with Paulo and Mario from Rio de Janeiro. Welcome to Crossover. Mario Adnay, you are an arranger, aren't you, as well as
Yes, I'm a composer, arranger, and producer.
Right. You know. How did you to get around to this whole project of the symphonic Jobim?
Well, this is an old story. It's about passion. You know? I always was a great fan of Jobim music since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's like a dream that came true, you know. It started maybe 10 years ago, this idea to put together the orchestral work. I mean, the arrangements that were made for the records and never played live.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And then 3 years ago, more or less, we got a sponsorship. And I called Paulo, let's go, it's the time. Mm-hmm. And he opened the doors of the institute and the big box of all arrangements.
Yes.
And we started to work.
Now, you had, did you do any of the arrangements prior to this?
Well, I did. We adapted some arrangements for playing live.
Okay.
Because they were recorded in only records.
Right.
It's different when you put everything live. You have to be very good balanced. And
of course.
And then we did this job to balance things. It were the orchestra was bigger than the orchestras in the records.
Oh, they sound very large. I mean, the symphonic.
Yes. And Paulo is here.
Okay, well, I'd say hello to him.
I can give him the phone.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, is this Paulo?
Yes.
This is Jill Pasternak. Hello.
Okay.
Wonderful to speak with you. I was just speaking with Mario about your father, and there is so very much to say about his music. There is some legitimate classical music here, I think, very much. And then there is another kind of music, which I was saying to Mario, reminds me a lot of Michel Legrand's film music. And then there is, of course, his wonderful, his popular tunes. So now are you as well are an arranger, is that right? Are you a musician?
Yes.
Are you a composer as well?
Yes.
So this is a wonderful project. And how did you decide to do this?
Well, I wanted to do this a long time already. And Mario, too, he was trying other ways. And then we got together and got this great maestro that I have met before.
Yes.
And finally, we went to São Paulo, which has a wonderful orchestra and a wonderful place to record also, because this would be a problem in Rio to record well.
I see.
And
well, this took a lot of planning, though, didn't it? I mean, in terms of the idea, what you just decided that there was so much music that we were not acquainted with that you wanted to put it into some kind of form. Is that right?
Yes, I want it to be played, and the music is there, and we wanted to play that.
Yes.
And that's what we are doing.
Now, the classical music, was that played ever? Was it ever performed?
Yes, the Brasília Symphony was recorded in 60, but it was only performed in public, I think, 25 years after, in an anniversary of the city. he began to be famous with the popular work and working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He recorded a part of the Brasília Symphony. He recorded in 72, I think.
Yes.
And, well, there was something of him really young called Lenda.
That's the one that he wrote for his father, right?
Yes, that was only performed once by him in 54 in a radio program.
Very beautiful, beautiful work.
And there's a part that is similar in the Brasília Symphony, like he used the same theme.
The theme, uh-huh.
Yeah.
But did he say that he wanted his classical music to be performed much more? I mean, was he inspired to do it more, or was it just something he kind of did and kind of hid under the rug, as we say?
He wanted to record it right, but then he just recorded one part of the symphony, because that would be a big project to do. Classical is not so... so common, so
yes.
So I don't know. So he and I think also the these albums of 72 and 76 that he produced himself with Klaus Ogerman.
Yes.
Then he could dedicate more to this classical side, like with Saudades do Brasil.
Oh, that's just wonderful. But Klaus Ogerman also did some arranging with Bill Evans. He did a kind of there were a lot of jazz musicians who wanted, they had a classical side to them too, and I think they used him.
Yes, yes, yeah. He's a great arranger, German. Yeah. He's into classical music. He kind of retired from jazz and is in Germany making classical music.
Still around, huh?
Yeah.
How old is he now? He's quite up there, huh?
Well, I think he might be around the age of my father, which is from 27, so maybe what?
80 something?
78. Maybe.
Yeah, right.
Something like
that. So when you grew up with your father, did he want you to be a musician, or did you want to do that?
No, I think he wanted me to choose by myself. He never conducted to one side or another.
No, huh?
And I really only began to work with him already with 30-something. I worked with other musicians like Milton Nascimento and and other friends.
Were you a pianist? Are you a pianist, or did you play other instruments?
No, I'm more a guitar player.
Uh-huh.
And I play also flute, and piano is just for myself.
Piano is like a functional, we say. You cannot be a musician without playing the piano some way or other. So, and you, of course, have done some of your own work, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, this won a Grammy, right?
Yes.
And this was a live recording, very excited audience, as I was saying to Mario. The audience was so thrilled to hear many of these things. But there are very many different sides to Jobim. I mean, you really, really do feel that he was a real classical composer. Some of his work is very, very contemporary.
Well, he began thinking about that. You see, this more classical thing is from the beginning of his career.
Yes.
And then he went back in the 70s with Klaus Ogerman.
Okay.
Then he has Saudades do Brasil and some other things. But most of what you have classical in the record...
through the symphony.
From the early... from the 50s, 60s.
You're listening to Crossover. Our guest today... Paulo Jobim, the son of Antonio Carlos Jobim. Now, he studied also, I mean, he went into the Impressionist composers. He loved Debussy and Ravel, and you can hear, you know, a lot of influence of that
as well.
And then this song, if I pronounce it wrong, just say Imagina, is it?
Yes.
That was from a piece that he wrote when he, it was a waltz, wasn't it, that he wrote for the piano many years ago?
He was, I think, 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
And he took this for his teacher of piano.
Yes.
And she played for him.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to be a pianist, classical pianist.
But he had a small hand, didn't he?
Yeah, and that, he was kind of old already. He was 18, I don't know.
But his hand, he couldn't reach an octave, I read.
Well, an octave he very could, but small, that was almost all he could reach.
That's very small, yeah.
But then the teacher told him, why don't you compose, because you compose well,
mm-hmm.
because of this waltz that was originally just for piano.
Yes.
Imagina.
So, but then did it become a song, or was it turned into a song?
Well, it was recorded with an orchestra many, many, many years ago. And then recently Chico Buarque put some lyrics on it.
Uh-huh.
And then came this name, Imagina, because it was called like Vals, romantic
yes,
Vals.
Yes, something, like right, that. Right. Well, of course, the name Jobim is magic. I mean, you know, you hear that. And now, how does that affect you as his son? Is it good? Or is it?
Yes.
Does it get in the way?
No, I think this is good.
It's
this
good.
Is, we, you are proud of that.
Yes.
And also this makes you do a lot of work that maybe I would be doing something else. I mean, I did an institute to put all these things together. And
yes.
It's a lot of work, but it's good. I mean, I feel proud of it and happy
yes.
to work with that.
So, but you again compose on your own, is that right?
Yeah, but right now I'm kind of
involved
working
with
too much in
yes.
with the institute.
So you are actually making him an immortal, as we say, in the eyes of the music world. Certainly, his name is
yeah.
immortal. For well, I guess Black Orpheus was where he really got the main the beginning of his really exciting career. Is that right?
Yes, for the world, I think that's what took him outside. But also, like, Bossa Nova.
Oh, of course. Well, he was... Was he the one that started it, I guess?
Yeah, some jazz musicians, they heard the João Gilberto album with mm-hmm. my father, with the songs. And they began to record it even before they would go to the U.S. So there was already Stan Getz, Cannonball.
Oh, sure.
Charlie Bird.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
They
all of them.
They became interested in the stuff.
But that was, I mean, this was the rage, Bossa Nova, and everyone talked about it, which is really rather unusual, you know, with a pop kind of thing, you know. It was not just for the elite musicians, you know, the jazz musicians. It was for the whole world. Everyone started doing the Bossa Nova, and, of course, that was the wave of music
yeah.
that everybody, and of course one hit after another.
I mean, that was really crazy. I mean, they were doing a jazz album, and they could not expect, I don't know, 2 million. I don't know, it sold a lot, the Get Gilberto album.
Uh-huh.
And still sells, it's crazy.
Well, they're still. I think they played "The Girl from Ipanema" last night here at the station. I don't even know who was singing it. It's just you know, it doesn't stop. I mean, it's always being played. But of course, this is such an exciting discovery of his other music. That's what I think is very
yeah.
thrilling about this.
It's another kind of thing, and I don't know. I think it's worth showing it.
So now, what do you intend to do with this institute, other than all the work you've put in now and the collection of his works? Are you putting it in a building? Are you housing it somewhere?
Yes, we are just receiving a building, a small house inside the botanical garden in Rio, which where he used to go a lot, and the institute really began because of ecological work. We did some ecological projects using his music and his saying in films and videos, and he was very concerned about nature there.
Really?
So we did already 3 projects. One about the Atlantic Forest, one about Pantanal, which is like the... It's a place that gets all wet during a part of the year, full of birds and
Is it like a rainforest? Or?
No, it's more like, you know, near Miami, they have a Everglades, something like that.
Oh, the Everglades. Yeah, the Everglades.
Yes.
It's a wildlife refuge, I think, also.
Yes. And then recently we did about the Amazon.
Yes.
And this goes to public schools. It's like videos and books for the teachers to teach about nature, about protecting nature.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And that's one of the, I mean, besides taking care of his work, we do all these things about nature and about culture in general, like Indians and...
Well, your culture where, in Brazil or, you know, or just all over South America?
Well, by now we are still in Brazil, which is quite big and quite rich in, I mean, folklore and these things. There's a lot of things to show and to put together. We're trying to put a place, let's say, culture and ecology, like an archive of that, a place you could go and find videos, audio, whatever, a place where people
can study and research.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have support for this, some kind of economic support?
Yes, I began that with Petrobras support. That was scanning all the documents, including the arrangements and this material that is in the symphonic, and also some video and audio, and to put this in computers. That was a government project, and we want to do others. There's one about Indian memory, spoken, like recording
the language,
the old guys.
You mean the folk songs and the yes.
So, yes, and the stories they tell, because it's a history that the old guys tell the young guys, and this disappears very easily.
Yes, well, it's like any of they don't write it down; they just pass it down from generation to generation.
Yeah, so
an oral history kind of.
Yeah, the idea is record this kind of thing and keep it.
That's an amazing project. Did you expect that this was going to happen when you started with the music?
I don't know. I always thought things like that, but I mean, when you begin to do something, things begin to happen.
Well, once again, this has been terrific, and thanks for finding the time to speak with me.
Thank you very much.
Okay, the best of luck, Paulo.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.